Hi, everybody. Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
I am so excited, Greg, because we have two new and exciting faces from The Bold and Beautiful, the show that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
They are coming today, and I'm very excited to talk to them.
Rebecca, yeah, it's a two-for-one special day here on Soapy. Rebecca, can you remember way, 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 way back to when you were new and exciting?
I am still exciting, Greg.
Uh-huh.
I'm new.
Ish.
Ish.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you that.
You are rotten. You know that? I'm taking this back. Okay. I'm very excited. We're going to start off with Sydney Bollack. Mm-hmm. She came to the show in 2025. She is so talented, so beautiful.
So delightful.
And I can't wait to talk to her. Stick around. Welcome to Soapy, Sydney.
Thank you so much for
having me. We're so happy that you're here.
We're so happy you're here.
For those of you that don't know, Sydney Bollack is on... Did I say your last name right?
Yes, you
Bollack.
Did. Beautifully.
Okay. I have the same last name, Buttig. I mean, people are like, Buttig, Buttig, right. But they don't know.
I'll go by whatever you call me.
Okay. Sydney and I work together on The Bold and the Beautiful, mm-hmm. although she's very, very new to daytime. Well, not very, very new. You were kind of around last year.
It's been almost a year, right?
It's been a year.
I dabbled.
Yeah, so you're not totally new. But anyway, I feel like I have a connection with you because, well, she uses my dressing room when I'm not there, which is a lot these days. And also because you're from Lexington, Kentucky, and I'm from Kentucky.
I don't think I knew that.
Yes, you did. Sydney, we've talked about this before. Oh, my
fight,
God.
Fight, fight, fight.
Well, then I feel
see how
horrible.
Impactful I am.
Are you? Okay. Where in Kentucky?
Remember Cincinnati, like up New York.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes.
Wait, tell me. You know Cincinnati's in Ohio, don't you?
You know what? I know Cincinnati's in Ohio, but we live, you know, over the border.
Okay. I feel like Ohio,
we did talk
Cincinnati,
about this.
It's clicking now.
Now
it's clicking.
Remember. Now you remember.
I'm so sorry.
How far is that from Lexington?
Oh, it's like 45
minutes.
It's
45 minutes, but clearly I had more of a connection than she did, which is probably...
Well, no. Sydney, I like you already.
That is music to your ears. Anyway, let's talk about you starting your whole sort of creative life in Lexington, Kentucky, of all places. Didn't you start dancing when you
I
were
did.
Young?
I did, yes. My parents put me in ballet class when I was like two, as one does with a little girl.
Yes.
And it just stuck. So I was on stage my whole life and I did theater. I started theater when I was probably five or six. And it just, acting, dancing, all that stuff.
Where did you do theater when you were five and six?
I believe my first theater experience, well, my parents put me in theater because my kindergarten teacher told my mom, she's very sweet, but she won't stop talking ever. And so my mom was researching what to do with children that don't stop talking. And theater was one of the first things that came up. So she put me into a 1 week theater. If I'm remembering this correctly, I was quite young. But a 1 week theater intensive or something for kids, like Lexington Children's Theater, I believe.
Okay.
And I loved it. We were just characters and exploring and whole thing. And that, so then I started in musical theater the next year with a musical theater company. I don't believe it's a thing anymore there, but yeah. So then I was doing dance as well as musical theater.
And then didn't you dance at the Bluegrass?
I did Bluegrass Youth Ballet and then Blackbird Dance Theater. Both in Lexington.
So when did it go from being a hobby to something where you decided this could be what I want to do with my life?
Well, when I was two, I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to be in the movies. And she's like, oh, that's cute. Okay. But I just, it, that was the one thing that stuck was performing.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to put me in soccer. It was horrendous. Gymnastics didn't stick, horseback riding, nothing really stuck. And when I did my first very low budget indie movie when I was 10.
Wow.
And I just fell in love with it. I loved it so much. And so I told my parents, I was like, I want to do this. I was very lucky. They were so supportive as long as I put in the work to actually do it. And it wasn't just a fleeting thing.
But how were you getting I think we're going to ask the same question.
No, I don't know.
I would probably ask it better anyway, so shall I?
Go ahead and I'll ask mine after.
How are those opportunities coming your way in Lexington, Kentucky?
So
You'd be surprised. What are you looking down at Lexington, Kentucky? No. One of the best theaters is in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. One of the Actors Theater in Louisville,
Kentucky. But I'm saying it's not Chicago. It's not New York. Right. It's not LA.
It's definitely, there's a lot less film and TV there. There's more now than there was at the time. But I think my mom saw the auditions on Facebook.
Wow.
And was just like, you want to audition? I was like, yeah, sure. And I ended up booking it. And it was just like a local, it was based in Kentucky, filmed in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of happened upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it so much. I remember being on set and being like, oh my gosh, like I have to do this. I loved it.
Did you ever go to Cincinnati for work? Because it is sort of, it's so close by and there is a little bit more work there.
Right. I had my very first agent, I believe, was out of Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And then she helped me get, I was so young, if I'm not mistaken, she helped me get I ended up getting reps in Atlanta, which is only a 6-hour drive from. So that was where I worked mostly growing up. I would do, because I grew up still, I had a normal growing up in Lexington, but it was only a 6-hour drive. So I do little co-star, guest star things in Atlanta mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one of my acting coaches in Lexington. He knew he had an agent in LA he was connected with and he brought us together.
And so that's how you ended up. Mm-hmm. Here. So did you ever want to pursue dancing?
I thought about it. I think there was definitely a time when I did, but the older I got, I knew I would rather be an actor who dances than a dancer who acts.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it was what I wanted to do for a career, but something that I wanted to continue for my life. And if I could do a role where I can act and dance, I'd love that. Which
if anyone's listening.
Okay, so most of your work when you were younger was happening in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Just to fast forward a little bit, and I want to go back to Stranger Things at some point, but was your job on Bold and Beautiful, was that what moved you to Los Angeles, or had you been here before that?
No, so I had been back and forth while I was in school, in high school for a few years.
Because for those that don't know, Stranger Things shoots in Atlanta. Is that correct?
Yes. So Atlanta and Covington area. But
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but I'd been back and forth to LA, you know, when pilot and episodic season was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew after I graduated high school, I wanted to move to LA. And so I graduated a year early and moved here.
How did your parents feel about that?
They were supportive. My mom came with me for the first 8 months or so, which I'm very grateful for. I have a wonderful mom. Hi, mom. She's going to watch this. I love you.
My mom did the same thing. We do have parallel lives a little bit. When I was 19. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. She came with you.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't stay 8 months. She lasted a whole 2 weeks. And then was like, you got a job?
She was like, 2 weeks with you was plenty.
After I started working, she's like, do you think I could go now? Anyway.
Oh, that's so funny.
Go ahead. I know, I totally interrupted you. No, I'm such a jerk.
You're talking about, your mom came here for 9 months and lived with you.
Listen. Block in.
Go on.
So she came with me and my parents were very supportive. They knew when I think I was 14 or 15 and I came up with a whole plan to my parents. I was like, so I'm going to graduate a year early and I am moving to LA and this is what I really want to do. And I already had LA reps agent manager and my Atlanta agent by that time. So I was auditioning regularly and they knew this is what I wanted to pursue. And as long as I continued to put in my part, they were supportive with that. And so I found a way to make sure I could graduate a year early and got the heck out of Dodge as quickly as possible.
You know what?
That's impressive.
It's very impressive. And I want to say it was Christian Weissman, one of your co-stars, who also shared with us that he presented his parents with a plan as to how and why he should move to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Isaac's telling me I'm right.
Yeah.
And I think we need to prep ourselves because we have a almost 10-year-old and an almost 12-year-old who will probably soon enough be presenting us with plans as to why we should let them
leave.
Yeah, leave. Mm-hmm. Huh.
But not leave. I mean, where would they go?
My son wants to be a professional soccer player.
Wow.
I know. Really? But we always say to him, we're like, hey, dream big and work hard. You come from dreamers. You can do right. whatever you want.
Absolutely.
But I don't want him to leave at 17.
Yeah. Maybe you can go with him.
Maybe I'll go with him.
Yeah. He will. All right. He'll be living.
See, you just solved the problem.
Are you siblings?
I have an older brother.
Mm-hmm. And what is he in the business at all? Or did he want to
no,
do that?
No, we're very close and very different. He went to college in Birmingham, Alabama, mm-hmm. and now he's back in Lexington. He has a job in medical sales. Yeah. And he's...
Can we both go?
Well, she's like, he has a job in medical sales.
Yes.
And he needs some medical supplies.
I know. He just got this job. I think it's so cool. He's in surgery. I have no idea how he does it. Wow. I don't know. I could never do that. But he's fascinated by it. He's so smart.
That's awesome.
So... Teddy. Shout out Teddy. Yeah.
Mom, Teddy, Dad.
Love you. The whole family.
Do you have any pets that we need to say hi to?
Daisy.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. She does. She showed me her dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does have a pet.
Oh, Daisy.
Okay, so you land here when you're, what, like young, very young.
17,
just like
right?
Very young.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder your mother didn't leave you. I mean.
Right.
Maybe my mom thought I was.
Yeah. She's like, you're fine.
So then what was your first job here in L.A.?
Acting job?
Yeah.
Well, I actually booked a movie right when I ended up moving like 2 weeks earlier than I was supposed to because I booked an indie out here. So that was nice to come out and have a job right
yes.
away. And then about a month after that ended, I booked a job in Atlanta. So then I went to Atlanta for a few weeks. And then there was not much after that. Until, you know, it was like the strikes happened. Oh, yeah. And
so what did you do during that time?
I worked restaurants, coffee shops, dog walking, assisting, yeah. babysitting, nannying, dance By the teaching, way,
all things that I think you, it shouldn't come so easy that you don't have that experience of working in the service industry.
It just informs your craft anyway, yeah. like yes. gives you something to pull from.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And it's having a consistent job and having the day job be acting is mm-hmm. such a blessing
mm-hmm.
and having that not be the case for a long time, I'm like, I would never take it for granted. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to go to work every day and have it be the job I came out here to do.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about The Bold and Beautiful, but we have, mm-hmm. before we get to The Bold and Beautiful, we have mm-hmm. to talk about Stranger Things.
Yes.
So you were on season two and three. Mm-hmm. Weren't you on one more? Weren't
and
you
five.
The final?
And five.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Season five.
Your hair was its own character.
Your hair. What was that like? I mean, we lived, well, mm-hmm. maybe I'm the only one that lived.
No, I was.
You're just slightly behind me. Slightly.
I'm a little more than slightly, but.
I wore my 80s jeans for you today.
They're so cute.
So what was that like?
It was amazing.
Were you familiar with the 80s? Because some kids are really into vintage and,
yes.
you know, old stuff.
Right. I loved the 80s. And so I was very excited to do that. I mean, I was 12 when I did the second season, my first episode on there.
Oh my gosh,
so I was
baby.
So young, but I loved the first season. And so I was very excited and I knew a lot of the music. And so that was my first like big production.
Yeah.
And what a first big production
yeah,
to be on
yeah.
And I met one of my best friends. She's still one of my best friends. She was another day player in that episode, and so it was the best experience. I loved it. I loved the hair. I loved
yeah.
the outfits. It was.
Did you have the expectation that the character would return, or was it supposed to just be a one-off?
No, I really didn't. I think it was because, well, everyone just hated
yeah.
Stacey,
yeah.
what a mean girl. And I remember Twitter it was like all over Twitter. People were so angry. And I was like, wow, I have two lines and so many people are talking about this. But I loved it. I was like, yes, keep the hate coming. Keep talking about me, please.
Well, I think it's the look when you walk away and he puts out his hand and you're just like, it's that eye roll that is sort of like, ooh, it hits deep.
And then he's crying and it's so sad.
You seem to have that effect though. Like you went to Stranger Things. You thought you were only going to be there, you know, a day player.
Mm-hmm.
You come to The Bold and the Beautiful.
Right.
You play this art teacher in and out, mm-hmm. supposedly.
Right.
And people fell in love with you. I was like, when you were the art teacher, I think I told Carly, who does both of our hair.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, she's awesome.
Oh my
she's
gosh.
So good. And she's
Thank
so beautiful.
You.
And then all of a sudden, there you were. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, Brad's smart. He knows what he's doing.
Thank you.
But you must have that effect. That's very flattering.
It's very flattering. I'm very honored to be brought back.
Where are you playing the same character that you were playing when you first came to the show?
I am, but she's had many arcs since then.
Tell us about her.
Oh, Miss Dillon. She gets into so much trouble. I was a summer art program teacher for your grandson on the show. And then, right? Yes.
He's laughing.
Just going to let it go that she's a grandmother, but okay, keep going.
I feel like you become a grandma at like 40 on the show, you know? Like,
you do.
Yeah.
That's right, I'm 40. Greg.
Hey, you look it.
Yeah, thanks.
I believe it.
Thanks.
So
you started out.
Yeah, I started out and then, you know, get held at gunpoint and casually in the classroom and by Luna.
Oh.
And come back months later, she gets hit by an anonymous driver. Surprise, it's me. Oh. Accidentally.
Luna gets hit by an anonymous driver.
Is this what?
And it turns out it's her.
Yes, oh. That's what killed her.
Miss Dillon.
I don't know. Is anyone ever really dead? It's a soap.
Yeah. Right. Come on. That's what killed her? Question mark?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So.
But it was accidental question mark or no?
It was accidental.
Okay.
Period. Yes.
Exclamation.
Right.
Exclamation period. Question mark.
Right.
It's a soap.
Right. So there was that. And then I was homeless and moved in with Will Spencer, who had a guest house above his above the garage of his beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I started coming on regularly and get tied into, I'm friends with his girlfriend, but oh, her boyfriend's so cute. And and so they're helping me get a job. I end up getting a job at Forrester. Love triangles, love quadrangles, mm-hmm, homeless mm-hmm. again.
Wow. Do we have family yet?
Making sure it has aired.
Oh,
Remy
yeah.
is my cousin, who's Christian Wiseman.
Yes, yes.
That aired just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. So that's my only.
God, you're so good. I wouldn't even remember. I'd be like, oh yeah, and it hadn't aired.
I wanted to make sure, but I was like, oh, I've seen my face screaming so many times because I had to scream when I see him,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so that I knew had aired. Because my whole family's like, who were you screaming at?
Screaming at in excitement or?
Screaming in
surprise.
Soap opera enthusiasm.
Uh-huh. Exclamation.
Yes. Exclamation. It's, yes.
I have a question. Did you grow up watching any soaps? Or did your family?
I didn't, but I know my mom, she had watched all the soaps back in the day and in college and stuff. She was telling me like her friends would schedule their classes around watching the soaps. And so, but I knew I think I first knew what the soaps were from watching Friends and knowing Days of Our Lives. Of
Dr. Draper Moray. We're watching that with my son right now.
Really?
And I work on Days of Our Lives.
Right.
And when Joey got his job as Dr. Draper Moray in Days of Our Lives, my son, like, I finally had some cred. My son's like, oh, you work on an actual TV show.
It's like, oh, you do? Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Now it's cool.
Yeah, now it's cool.
So what was it like for you? Because your experience thus far had been movies and Stranger Things, which they don't shoot quite as fast mm-hmm. as we do on the show.
Right.
And what was that transition like for you? Because it's a lot of lines. You're young, so mm-hmm. I imagine it wasn't too hard, but...
It was very different from... I think growing up in theater helped because mm-hmm. I'm used to doing... You have one shot.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that I was going to have to pull that until day of when they were like, great, moving on. I'm like,
huh?
Huh? What do you mean? What do you
mean? I want to do that again.
I'm so confused. And first coming on, it was definitely like, whoa, because we had all the kids there too. And that's going to add a whole other level.
But you had nannied, so you were used
right.
to kids.
Right. I was actually teaching kids at the time because I taught dance. And so around that age of children. So I was like, I know you guys, I'm going to get along well with you all. But so it was, I remember, I think I was telling my mom, I was like, yeah, I'll call you by the end of the day. We'll probably wrap like 8 or 9 or something. And I called her at noon. She's like, oh, are you on lunch? I'm like, no, I'm done. So it was very, yeah, I was like, whoa, this is, I've got to be on it.
Yeah.
And make sure I have my script on set. Because I was like, oh, I'm memorized. I'm not going to have my script on set. And the next day I was like, I'm bringing my script on set.
I hold on to that thing. Like it is a
my Linus blanket. Because it goes so fast. Yeah, you have to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, my favorite thing is, you know, sometimes you'll start a scene and you'll be on set already. But I love when I have to make an entrance because I'm like, it really feels like theater. Like you're waiting to make your entrance. And because it goes so fast, it feels live in a way.
It does.
Yeah. Do you have any dreams of doing anything else like writing or directing or?
I mean, I've always loved writing. I was writing scripts and stories when I was a little pipsqueak, probably like 7 or 8. I mean, I've always had journals and journals and journals. If anyone wants to get me anything, I'm like, get me a journal. And so I've written for pretty much since I figured out how to write words. I was writing scripts and stories and stuff, but I don't share them. One, I'm really bad at finishing it. So I'll start something and then I'm like, oh, but I have this idea. And then I have this idea. And now I'm writing 5 billion scripts and none of them are
finished.
Maybe
if you show someone, you'll have to finish it.
I know. It would be good to hold accountability. I've started with a couple of my friends who've come up with a few ideas and we've started like writing together, which is definitely helpful. Okay. Yes.
Sorry. No, I'm good. This is a perfect segue because we have a question from a fan.
Okay.
And it is, what would a dream storyline be for the young adults on the show? What would a pitch be?
Tell her who the fan is.
I was about to. Because do you call yourselves the B&B Brat Pack?
Oh, we do.
Okay. So this question is from friend of the pod.
They are so cute. You guys, the young people on The Bold and the Beautiful right now are just...
Wait, so it's crew?
It's crew.
Christian.
Linnea. Christian.
You.
Me. Brian and Harrison.
Brian and Harrison. Okay. They are... First of all, every single one of them is an incredible human being. They are kind. They're respectful. Minus crew with the dressing rooms. I mean, I heard he's a mess. But she's very respectful. I'll get to my room. It's very clean.
I'll work on it.
Name checking over here.
I love crew. He's my boy, but, you know, I've heard. So, but they're all just such good kids. I hate to call you kids because you're not kids. You're adults.
We're basically kids.
I'm, you know, grandma. So, but to me, you're a kid. So, but they're all just like talented and engaged and they really all get along. And so they all like hang out on these benches on the lot and they just look so cute. It's the best. They are the Brat Pack. I'm so proud of them. I'm so happy that they're part of our show.
I have so much fun with them. It's so great to come into a time when they're fleshing out the younger generation of the show.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome to have 6 people that are doing the same thing and really like each other, like working together. We're always like, oh, let's work on these scenes in our dressing rooms. And how can we like make this more and analyze this? And on our hiatus, we all went to Disney together.
Oh, I love it.
Like, it's just, we're always hanging out. It's so
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Your question.
The question is from friend of the pod and your pal, Christian Weissman. What would,
Christian?
Yeah. So what do you think would be what's a story you would all love to do together? What's a good pitch for a Brat Pack story?
You know what I think would be great? I think somehow, I don't know how we get here. I haven't had this all thought through, but I would love one of those, you know, like 2010 CW tropes where it's like, there's a big storm. Mm-hmm. The power's out for some reason. We're in the woods. I don't know why, but I just think it would be really fun to have all 6 of us have to be in some cabin in the woods together. There would be chaos. Mm-hmm. Half of us hate each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we can't leave because there's a storm. It's mysterious. I don't know. I don't know the circumstances of why we would get here.
There's wires down but the there road. Would you be, can't get out.
Right. But I think, yes. It's like the power's out. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Someone's trying to call grandma, but there's no power.
Grandma, help.
Grandma can't come.
Grandma can't come save us. But I feel like that'd be fun. It's like, there's no technology. The lights are out. You've got to light the candles and we all have to just like,
but someone's got to die though, right?
Ooh.
No, I think someone has to get together. Someone unexpected.
Many.
Both?
Someone unexpected. Yeah, maybe our producer's like, someone's gotta die.
Right.
No, we're not killing off anyone in the Brad Pack, okay?
No one's ever died. Brad Pack stays together. But no one ever dies, remember?
But two people have to get together. Someone gets really gravely hurt. Maybe one of us is missing,
and so we go and find them.
Okay.
Have you had any screen time together on camera? Have you had a story together or any scenes together?
No. We've seen each other at the bikini bar?
Oh, yeah. The bikini bar.
Mm-hmm.
That's just starting to air, though, the bikini bar.
Yeah.
So
I bet we didn't even speak.
I know one thing you could do in that cabin.
What?
You could teach your best friend, Electra, calligraphy. Because I want you to teach me calligraphy.
I would love to teach you.
So apparently, you taught yourself how to write in calligraphy.
Yes. I was really bored in, I believe, like, seventh grade science. And I just was, I struggled in school to, or not just school, but if I'm having to listen to something for a long time, it seems maybe disrespectful, but I struggle if I'm not doing something else to actually listen to it. Mm-hmm. It seems like I'm not paying attention, but I'm like, I have to be like doodling or something to be taking in the information. Like,
I want to ask you more about that.
Yeah.
When we're done.
We'll circle back.
Off camera.
Yeah. And so I was half bored and also figuring out how I could somewhat pay attention, and it would be just like doodling. And so I started just like writing in cursive. And I think I just started picking it up. And I remember I would write on my hand. And just learned, I would write like love, like, cause that was just like easy to write in cursive. And then I've started doing, I just figured out, I was like, oh, well that looks nice like that. And I would do little designs like that. And I remember all of a sudden, everyone in school has little drawings on their hands. And I'm like, I know I started that. I know that I did.
You're a trendsetter.
You're a leader.
What can I say?
You're a leader.
What can I say? But yeah, I ended up just, I asked for calligraphy books, and I had the little textbooks, and that's what I would, I was a wild child. So that's what I would do on a Saturday night. I was like, I'm going to be alone in my room and teach myself how to do calligraphy. And I still do it. I love it.
That's one way to stay out of trouble.
When's your birthday?
October 7th.
Oh, I thought maybe you'd be a Cancer like me, because I want to be alone in my room.
I think I'm a Cancer moon.
Really?
Whatever, if that means anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay, we have a Soapy hotline, and fans write in with some questions.
All right.
Do you want me to start?
Oh, yeah, I guess I should look, right?
Okay.
I'm going to look at my notes and see if there's anything.
Question number one. One of our most loyal viewers wants to know, out of all the people who play your cousins on the show, who is your favorite co-star? Christian Weissman is really trying to get himself back on this show, isn't he?
I'm like, he needs to step through the doors now.
I mean,
obviously Christian Weissman.
Wow.
Because
my favorite. Is that really the question? There's got to be more.
What has been your most memorable day on The Bold and the Beautiful?
The first day of the bikini bar was really fun because we were all there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time that Dylan, Electra, Will, and RJ were all in a room together.
Mm.
But we'd all been talking about each other and up in each other's business. And so it was fun to all be there together.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved, actually probably my favorite day was when at the beach house with Will Spencer and your grandson, Hayes, grandma could not babysit him.
That's right. I remember.
Yes. And there was some.
I had my doctor things to do.
You had like, doctor things.
I was at a conference.
Yes. That's what it was. And Steffi was out of town and no one could watch him. So Finn brought him over because he had doctor things as well. So he brought him over and we just spent the entire day with little Brian who plays Hayes. And he's, oh my gosh, I love that kid. I mean, I feel so, his mom and I think his teacher on set, I feel bad for them because they were like, Brian, calm down. And we're like teaching him how to like, we're like, yeah, one, two, and like jab. And you know, like we're just riling
he's
him
so
up.
He's so cute too. Every time
gosh.
He always looks up at the mic and he goes, he's up there. He's up there. He like talks to the mic and he's like looking
he's so
up and he's
cute.
Like, he's listening to us. And he's like talking mm-hmm. like it's a person. He's the cutest thing.
He's so funny.
He's
there
so
was,
cute.
He had this moment. Well, we were like tussling around with him in between scenes. And at the end of the episode, there's a like a montage, and it was supposed to be us just like playing with our puppets. And then they were like, no, you guys should just do it. You've been doing in between takes while you're supposed to be getting notes. And so we're just chasing him around, but I love kids. And so I had so much fun with that. And he's so smart. He was like improvising. There was one moment I was so sad. Crew and I were so sad because he was cut and he had this like, oh, it's the cutest moment. It's, you know, with me and Will, and it's kind of flirty. And he's just standing right in between us and just improvs this like, yeah, maybe, and has no idea what he's talking about, and just kind of walks out. It was the cutest thing, and it ended up not being in the show, but he was just improvising. He's so smart. So that was probably my favorite day.
Okay, do you
have another one? I don't have another one, but you're a good person to have around. You love kids, and also with your background being a child, a former child actor, it's a good person to have on set because it's not always an environment fit for children.
Right.
So
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why do you think people should watch soaps? Tune into soaps?
I think that it's, they've been going on for so long for a reason, and the world is a crazy place, and it's dark, and it's sad, and it's scary, mm-hmm. and you can tune in to daytime and watch funny, ridiculous things, and I think it's just like, people will remember, oh, I watched this with my mom growing up, I watched this with my grandma, and if you tune in, you can see the same characters, mm-hmm. or the same families that's like, your family grew up watching them. And I've seen so many people that would say that they felt like family to the families they were watching because they mm-hmm. grew up watching them. Yeah. And it's like, you can still watch those same families. And so so much content is so crazy these days too. It's nice to just go back to like where so much started.
And there's something new every day. You don't have to rewatch.
Yeah, there's something new every day, and you don't have to wait 2 years for a new season to drop.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to watch from the very beginning, go on the B&B app.
BBTV.
BBTV.
I've been tuning in.
I've been mm-hmm. looking at it.
She
too,
showed it to me this morning.
We watched. Yeah, I'm trying to watch from the very beginning because I want to see Taylor's whole progression. It's going to take me a mm-hmm. while, but I've been watching it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm watching season 24 right now. And I
love season 24? You just jumped in there?
Well, yes and no. I had a meeting with Brad. And he told me he was just referring to a character that was like
similar to yours or something.
Similar to yours or similar to where she's going to grow into. Mm. And so I wanted to do my research. And I just wanted to watch like
Do you want to say who the character is or no? You don't have to.
No.
I'm looking to you.
No.
Okay. Tell me off camera. I'm curious.
I will.
that's a great answer though as to why people should be watching soaps, and you nailed it. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Why do I think people should watch soaps? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot out there. And again, it's like 10 episodes or 12 episodes. Right. And I think with this show, you get to know people. Like it's almost like having a friend or having someone you're familiar with. And mm-hmm. I think that's unique to this genre. And there's something new every day. Mm-hmm. And also if you miss, you can catch up. You don't necessarily have to go back. Mm-hmm. You can catch up, right, you know, and pick up like in the middle and be like, okay, I know where we are.
Right.
And they're fun. And sometimes mm-hmm. they're campy and sometimes they're not.
Right.
And I think you go through a lot of emotions with it. Mm-hmm. And it's just easy. To me, it's easy to watch.
It is.
You're not worrying about the world's problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would just add to that it's like comfort food.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I'm always reluctant to commit to a new show until I know that it's got renewed for a second season mm-hmm. or something because... And I think with soaps, it's like, you know that these are established characters and established worlds that mm-hmm. when you jump in, you know that you can commit and they're going to be around and you can mm-hmm. grow attachments to these people and they're not going to be gone in 3 months. Right. And you won't have to wait 2 more years for them to come back.
Mm-hmm. So. Or you get a recast and then you're hating on them for a while until you start to like.
Speaking from experience. You are absolutely delightful. This has
you're
been
amazing.
Really fun.
Thank you. You're beautiful. You're talented. Your whole life is ahead of you. I'm super excited to watch.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll make an appearance as your grandfather.
Oh my gosh, Grandpa. Oh, I've been looking for you everywhere.
Okay, now we have one more treat. for you. Our next guest is also from The Bold and the Beautiful, just reminding you. He's new to the show. He's new to soaps. Mm-hmm. And he's so talented.
But stepping into a legacy family, yes, we have Mr. Brian Nicoletti, yes, who plays the new RJ Forrester.
He is such a sweetheart. I adore this boy, and I cannot wait for you to get to know him too. Welcome, Brian Nicoletti. Oh! Thank you for having me. Thanks for being here, buddy.
No, I'm excited.
For those that don't know, Brian is our, like, I think you might be our newest cast member on Bold and Beautiful. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Are you, okay, there's so many questions. I have so many questions. Let's talk about The Bold and the Beautiful first. What was that experience like auditioning? Because you sent in a tape submission, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, so I originally sent in a self-tape, and at the time, I wasn't familiar with the show. I just knew it was like, you know, TV. Yes. And so, I sent in a tape and didn't hear back for like a month. And so it kind of just left my mind, didn't think about it. And then I got a call back, and I went in and did it for Christy Dooley. Yes.
Our casting director,
and Christy Rachel Dooley, Rose, the casting associate. And again, didn't hear back for a couple of days, and I was like, all right, well, the callback was nice. That was cool. And then they called me back and said that Brad, Bell, and Casey wanted to see me. And then that's when I read with Torsten and Linnea. And then, yeah, the day after they called me and offered me the role.
Now, what was that like? Because, you know, I used to work with Torsten a lot more than I do right now, but and I know him from all my children, we go way back. And he is an incredible person to act with because he's just so present and so giving. So what was that experience like? It was a
blessing. You know, because obviously there's always nerves and, you know, they tell you you're going to be reading with the people who are already on the show. And you're like, all right, well, let's see where this goes. But I've talked about it before, but Torsten really took me under his wing. You know, we sat in there, I think, I'd read with Linnea, and we had maybe like 20 minutes before we went in and saw Brad, and that whole time it was me and Torsten breaking down the scene and trying different ways. And,
do you feel like was what you had prepared and what you were doing, that got you that far? Did it change after that time you had with Torsten?
I think it was more of a collaboration. 'Cause I think, you know, I felt as prepared as I could be going in there. But
it's,
I think Torsten, kind of pushed me in the right direction. And, you know, it's great having some insider info because I think he knew what they were looking for and, you know, what they wanted to see. And so, we tried lines and tried it different ways and he gave me notes and, you know, I was so like, try this. And he's like, oh, that works. And, you know, because you don't get that immediate response all the time.
No.
You know, I mean, most auditions nowadays, self-tapes, you send them in and you get nothing. Unless you get a callback, you get no feedback.
Right.
So it was good to have someone that, you know, kind of, I got to test it out before going up in front of everybody. And I think that eased my
Was it a screen test on set or were you in Brad's office?
We were in Brad's office. Yeah.
That's always easier. I'm not sure if you ever screen tested, but sometimes they'll do chemistry tests on set, on the actual cameras. And this doesn't want to. Am I talking too loud? It doesn't want to stay close to me. And that to me is that also it's like just elevates the anxiety and the and
yeah.
The
I think
nerves.
If we would have done it on one of the sets, I would have been way too intimidated.
Yeah, so I've never booked a job after having a screen test.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've booked it. Well, no, because
that's not true.
It is true. Yeah. My jobs have been short term jobs that have turned into longer term once I've gotten there. I think I'm great on set, but I've never quite finessed. Auditioning is its own beast.
Yeah.
Go.
What was life like for you before B&B?
Before B&B.
You grew up in Brazil?
I grew up in Colorado. My family's from Brazil.
I thought you grew up in Brazil moved.
I lived in Brazil when I was younger.
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to kind of experience that and obviously meet the rest of my family.
Well, how old were you when you moved to Colorado?
So I was born in Colorado, and then I lived in Brazil for about a year or two when I was...
Oh, so like, you were born in Colorado, then went to Brazil, yeah. And came back. Okay, you know what? Don't give me flack, okay?
No, it's sort of complicated, but so my parents moved from Brazil and with my brother. My dad moved out here first, sort of, you know, get a foundation going before moving out the rest of the family. And then shortly after I was born. So, I got to spend a little bit of time in Brazil, and that was, you know, incredible just cause it's such a different world. And, you know, I have so much family out there. So finally getting the chance to have that experience, you know, cause growing up it was me, my mom, my dad, and my brother. And so it was a very tight knit family, and so I never had that experience of like
extended family.
Yeah, go to grandma's or right. Hang out with your cousins, and so
you get to speak a language that you get to speak both languages actually.
Yeah, Portuguese was my first language. Wow. Yeah, it was just Portuguese at the house. My mom made sure of that.
Yeah, and didn't I read that your mother watched Spanish soap operas, right?
Yeah, so growing up, it was soap operas in Brazil, but mainly, you know, Spanish soap operas. And
was your mom really excited when you got this job?
Oh man, that might be an understatement. Yeah. Really? My mom's my biggest fan. So, aww. She still calls me every day and she watches the episodes.
That's amazing.
So what's the trajectory? So you're growing up in Colorado. You went to college. Did you go to college to study acting?
Yeah, so I did.
You were an athlete. Am I wrong?
I grew up that was, you know, what was fun. I was never in like theater class or anything. I think it always fascinated me, but it wasn't something maybe that I identified with, or, you know, they were doing more musicals and that wasn't really, you know, my style. My brother's a big athlete. And so, I feel like I kind of followed that. My dad, you know, played soccer growing up. And so, yeah, I think up until high school, it was all sports, wrestling, basketball, football, all that stuff. And then, yeah, I think it was probably my sophomore or my junior year. And that's when COVID hit. And so I got I took a theater class as an elective, and I ended up doing it for like a month before COVID hit.
This is sophomore year of college or high school?
High school. Yeah. And so, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. Up until that point, I had always been a creative person. I was always making videos and so I knew the path that I wanted to go to wasn't going to be law or, you know, something like that. I knew it was going to be more on the,
you weren't going to be a doctor?
No. Thought about it. But it was always going to be something more along the arts, I think. I think sophomore year I went to go turn in a paper for a class or something to my counselor. And she hits you with that question, like, what's your plan after high school? And I hadn't really thought about it. I think up until that point, I've always been fascinated with cinema and movies and all that stuff. But I don't think it ever clicked that it was a possibility or, you know, a path that you could follow. And, you know, when she asked me that, my mind immediately went to acting. And I don't know if that was intentional or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I was like, you know, I've been thinking about acting. And luckily she had a nephew, I think, that had just graduated from a film school here in LA. Hmm. And she was like, well, take a look at that. I immediately obsessed with it, and because I don't know, in my house it was always, you know, dream big and go big or go home. Yeah. And so if that was something that I wanted to pursue, I didn't want to do a film school in Colorado or take it as an elective. You know, I want to go to something that's dedicated to that. And so I applied to one school, and it was a film school out here. And I don't know if I've ever told my parents this, but it was the only school I applied to. And it was one of those things where I was like, if I get in, it's destiny. And if I don't, I don't know what to do with my life. Luckily, I got in. And I did 2 years of film school. And after that, you know, just kind of been working on the craft.
Yeah. That's a great story.
It is a great story.
Also, yeah. I don't know, you sort of, you, it's almost like you willed it. It's like, this is, like you knew that was going to be the path. Did you feel before you got your acceptance that it was happening? Like you were getting in?
The school?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much I knew that I was going in, but I've always had this mentality and, you know, probably comes from my parents. To be honest, I don't know exactly where it comes from, but I'm very much a believer, like, it is destiny and it's written. And if I just don't get in my own way, I'll achieve it. And so I think that's also helped kind of the anxiety of whether things are going to work out or not. It's like, they're going to work out, maybe not exactly in the way that you see it, yeah. But in my mind, it was never a question of like, will it work out? It's like, when, you know, just a matter of time.
We've reached out to the fans.
Yeah.
And to get questions. Okay. So we're going to ask you.
Right. You're questions. In the hot seat now.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to go first, Becky Jo?
I guess I am.
Okay.
Okay. What are your favorite ways to remember your lines?
My favorite ways. I think my favorite way is when I don't. Is like, what I'm trying to work on now is not sitting and trying to memorize. Is really just reading through the script and working on different stuff. And I think if you do that enough, by the time you go to shoot, the words will just come out because you're like, obviously, that's mm-hmm. what I would say.
You know the intention.
Exactly. So that's, yeah. I think, what I'm trying to focus on is whenever I work too hard on memorizing, I feel like I get very static and robotic and, you know, there's no room for play. And so, yeah, my favorite, yeah, is when I don't have to memorize. That's my favorite way to memorize. Yeah.
And then another question we got was, what is a role? Is there a particular role that you have always wanted to play?
No. No, I want to do everything.
Well, then, just piggybacking off of that. Oh, you have another
one? I have one more.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what storyline would you like your character to do?
Like a specific storyline? Or just in general?
What storyline would you like your character to do? But what storyline? Let's see.
What's he up to now? What's airing?
Well, I don't know what's airing. We're ahead. We're so far ahead. So
I think we're
still
sort of introducing the character.
Yeah, that's true. I think
we've shot a lot.
Yeah, we've shot a lot.
And so we're getting, I think, exploring more of, you know.
I think it's going to be Elektra. And why are you looking at me like that?
I'm listening to you.
RJ.
Yeah, but I don't know if I have a specific storyline. I love what we're doing. I think. And that's another beauty of soaps is, you know, we're diving into family relationships and mm-hmm. romantic relationships and office relationships. And there's so many directions to go that I just enjoy the fact that I get to explore all of it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Cool. I hope that answers. And you said your mom is watching on the regular now?
Yeah. My mom, my dad, my brother. Yeah, I have some friends too.
The beauty of soaps, you pull them in.
Yeah, you pull them in. But it's, you know, it's easy. Once you watch a few episodes, you're caught.
Yeah.
You're caught in it now.
And one more question. Well, what?
Go ahead.
What were you say?
You said one more question.
Well, I have a couple.
Go ahead.
What do you do for fun? Because, you know, so we were researching you and you had apparently had this TikTok following and all this stuff. But you said you made TikTok videos when you were like 12.
Yeah, so...
So you're not really on social media now, or do you have a love-hate, or you don't?
I think...
Tell us about that. I'm so curious because I love that young people are starting to turn against it.
Yeah, I love it too.
Do you have friends that are in the same, like, boat?
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that are on both ends of the spectrum. You know, some friends that don't feel the same way and they don't like social media or they don't like to be on there. And then I have friends where it's their life and they're posting every day and... I think for me, I had that experience when I was very young. You know, I've been making little videos since I can remember. And then, you know, TikTok came along and I was maybe like 11, 12. And so I started making videos on there and, you know, moved over to YouTube and started, you know, kind of expanding. Like, TikToks are very short. And so I was working on longer videos and editing and I was learning all that stuff. But I think the realization that I came to is the love that I have for it is the idea of like creating. It's not the response I'm getting. And so I found myself in a place where I was relying on the response to validate my feelings. And so even if I created something that I enjoyed, people didn't like it, it was a bad idea, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or if it was something that I didn't really like doing, but people were loving it, it's like, oh, I should do more of that. And I don't think that's a healthy space to be in.
It's like, it's completely unhealthy that the external, you're looking for the external validation.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think the flip for me was, okay, well, how do I validate myself? You know, and that's a very tough thing to try and take on when you're young. But the realization I came to is, again, going back to Destiny, is I felt like I could be creating something more impactful and something bigger. And so, you know, I think that's where I started leaning towards acting and, you know, movies and shows, because I felt like that was a bigger way for me to express myself and take it to another level where you're creating something complex and something with levels and all that. And I felt with social media, it was very like quick, and you know, you're just doing it for the likes and the response. And you know, I think some people do it for different reasons, to each their own, but for me, I felt like it was a unhealthy space to be in, because I'm putting value on something, or I'm letting a number of likes or something other value people, rather than my feelings towards
it. We should
it.
Have you come back and talk to Charlotte and Monty, our kids, about the dangers of social media.
Yeah.
But you've got it. You've got a lot figured out. So you're a very impressive
young man.
I'm
still trying to figure it out.
You're in
you
very good
like you're
shape.
Having fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm having a blast. I don't think I've been happier.
Love to hear it.
Every day on set is
keep it up.
Living my dreams.
Hopefully Taylor and RJ will cross paths.
Yeah, we got to get some. Amazing. Somehow we got to get those storylines.
Somehow they have to.
Yeah.
You got to come to Taylor for therapy.
Yeah,
that's a good start.
You were talking about that on set. I was like, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you guys.
This has been
me.
An absolute delight, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you can watch Brian Nicoletti and Sydney Bullock on The Bold and Beautiful on CBS, and also on Paramount Plus and the B&B app, which is BBTV.
Thanks for tuning in, and you can catch this episode and any other episodes of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel, or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.